Okay, so I'm going to discuss community-based rehabilitation in Vietnam. And again, this is based on our trip that occurred last year. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so community-based rehabilitation has actually been around for quite a long time. It started with an initiative by the World Health Organization back in 1978, and it was to improve access to rehabilitation services for impoverished people with disabilities by using local resources. Currently, it is implemented in over 90 developing countries. Just a couple of demographics on Vietnam. Currently, the population is 92 million. It's divided into provinces, districts, and communes. And the reason why I mention this, it is important in terms of its place for community-based rehabilitation, as you will see soon. The gross domestic product per capita is $1,000 in U.S. money. Disability prevalence is currently at 15.3%. And let me add that that's based on the ICF definition, and that's established by the World Health Organization from 2001. So community-based, or CBR, basically has a short history in Vietnam. It just began as a pilot project in 2008, and as I mentioned earlier, so CBR has been around for over 30 years, but in Vietnam, it's only currently being practiced. Who oversees it's managed by the Ministry of Health. Oversight is through the Hanoi School of Public Health, and the initial scope is that it was going to be initiated in just three provinces in Vietnam. So the overall objective is to improve the quality of life for people with disabilities through medical rehabilitation, developing assistive devices, and the biggest component is the knowledge transfer from healthcare professionals to communities to the individual families. So this is a pictorial on kind of just summarizes the concept, and it's like, okay, so let's organize and see what we can do. And again, this is like the community and the families coming together to assist the person with disabilities. There are three main components. As you could see, there's the medical, the educational, and the social. And the medical includes home-based rehab, and again, I mentioned the prosthetic devices, referrals for surgical intervention, and health promotion and prevention activities. And again, a lot of these services cost a lot of money, and as Susan Hammond mentioned, there's very limited resources. Hence this whole initiative to get the communities and the families more involved to providing these kind of services. The education is to target the specific disability through early intervention and to really foster lifelong learning. Social is vocational training, and on our trip, we had the opportunity to visit several locations where the persons with disability were being trained in certain settings. Also job placement activities and also participation into advocacy programs. Again, another overall pictorial, and basically the goal here is to reduce further functional limitations and overall to improve quality of life. So actually Susan's gonna address this quickly.
This is right, just quickly. There's a couple of things that I think are really important when we talk about community-based rehab in Vietnam. One is that Vietnam for hundreds of years has been centered on the family, on the commune, on taking care of whatever needs to be done with the family. So it is a perfect environment to go in and do the community-based rehab. The people on our trip were really struck by this, and we thought, how could we bring this back to the U.S.? That's a whole other issue.
one of the things we talked about and that you see when you talk with families is this feeling of guilt and responsibility for what has happened with children who are born with these severe birth defects. And for years, families believed that it was something that they may have done in a prior life, that this is to be expected, that in fact, as Buddha has said, we are the heirs of our own action, no matter how many generations of ancestors we go back to. So part of the work that is being done in Vietnam now is to talk with families and to inform them of what has been causing these issues.
And let me add to, having worked in public health for many years, I was really struck by the fact that a lot of these people with really severe functional limitations, we didn't see one home where there were bed sores. And you know, me as a public health nurse in New York City for many years, I would see bed sores all the time, even with these $20,000 mattresses that we would put in people's homes. Okay, so a couple of pictures here, and again, this is a picture from Susan, and this young man here is actually 27 years old, and looks like a child, but has been well cared for by his mother there. And, you know, another issue that Susan brought up or somebody else brought up on the panel is that what happens to these families when the significant other dies? That's really huge. For this particular culture. Here's another kid, and this is another home that we visited. And you could see that this is actually a young woman, and the families are just so devoted to really taking such extraordinary care of them. And here's another child. And this picture, I think, is significant because look at the wheelchair. I mean, basically, that's like a plastic deck chair with wheels attached. And this was donated to the Vietnamese by a European country. And of course, thinking it's going to be helpful, but it's just amazing. Here's another place that we visited, and you could see the children just lying around. Okay. So basically, community-based rehabilitation, it starts from the bottom. It starts from the district hospitals where people with disabilities are identified and rehabilitation schedules and are developed for them with input from their families, the physical therapists, the speech therapists. But again, there's not a whole lot of rehabilitation therapists. But the ones that are available do get involved in developing these specific programs. And then it moves up. So it begins at the center or the district hospital, then in the province, then in the district, then the community gets trained, and then the family. So outcomes achieved for persons with disabilities, there's three major outcomes. There's rehabilitation, there's training, and there's employment. This I thought was really interesting. This is one of the rehabilitation departments that we visited. But one of the things that I found striking is that at least they had a Hoya lift. A lot of the facilities that I visited in New York City, there were no Hoya lifts. So, just saying. Here's a picture of some home-based rehabilitation that's occurring. Employment, this was a bonsai tree nursery that we visited, and this young man was being taught how to care for bonsai trees. And some more training of these individuals. Again, all these individuals here have some type of disability. They're being taught how to do sculpting. More training on computers. So training to date on CBR, basically there's 21,000 workers in the communities that have been trained, 8,000 district workers. Now all graduate and postgraduate medical schools are being taught community-based rehabilitation, as well as it's being trained on a master's level. And manuals have been developed and are currently in use.
So future plans to integrate it into more systems, expand to additional provinces, continue the training on for healthcare professionals to then teach the families, increase job training and placement for people with disabilities. And that's the South China Sea. Thank you.